Up next, Design for Change host Sheila Setharaman speaks with Bridge Kothari, founder of Planet Read and Bookbox. Kothari shares his strategies for creating a profitable and sustainable venture while giving millions of Indians access to reading from the Conversations Network's Social Innovation Channel. Hi, I'm Elena Connor.
And I'm Eric Nee. We are your hosts on Social Innovation Conversations, bringing you a new interview in the Design for Change series. A correspondent of the Stanford Center for Social Innovation, Sheila Setharaman, asks accomplished entrepreneurs in the Design for Change interview series about the key elements that enabled them and their organizations to unleash their potential for social and environmental impact. By joining as a paid member of the Conversations Network, you'll not only help keep Social Innovation Conversations on the air, you'll also have access to our premium edition programs without promotional messages. Just click on the Join Now button on our website.
Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. Thank you, Limelight, for your support of the Conversations Network. And now, here's our presentation from the Design for Change interview series.
Welcome to Design for Change, where we talk to entrepreneurs around the world who are creating sustainable models for social change. This is your host, Sheila Setharaman. Our guest on the show today is Bridge Kothari, founder of Planet Read and Bookbox. Using SLS or same language subtitling, he has made it possible for many thousands of people in India to improve their reading skills while being entertained at the same time. Bridge is an Ashoka Fellow and his organization has won many awards for its innovative approach to tackling illiteracy. Thank you for being here to talk about your work, Bridge, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about the genesis of Planet Read. How did it begin?
Planet Read actually builds on a core idea, which is same language subtitling, and it gave it an organizational form, really. But at the core, the idea is extremely simple. What we do is simply add karaoke on Bollywood film songs that are already on television. So basically, if you have a Hindi film song, the lyrics come at the bottom in Hindi. So word for word, what you hear is what you read. And that basically reinforces your reading ability. So that's the core idea of same language subtitling. And Planet Read essentially takes that idea and implements it currently on about 10 television programs in India.
Bridge, Bollywood films, now that is something that we all grew up with back in India, but for the audience around the world, tell us a little bit more about this massive phenomenon, if you will.
Yeah, actually Bollywood represents one of the world's biggest film industry. Actually, it is the biggest. It produces about 1,000 films a year. In contrast, Hollywood produces, I think, about 300 to 350 films a year. So it's really more than double the size of Hollywood in terms of number of films that are produced. Now, it's an umbrella term that includes films in all Indian languages, really, not just Hindi. And if you haven't really seen any Bollywood film, you know, I would highly recommend that you see at least a few representative ones because it's a unique genre with a lot of song and dance. And personally, I find them a fantastic way to understand even what drives people's passions in India.
And it's really a nice idea to be targeting Bollywood films because it really knows no boundaries back in India. Pretty much everybody sees the films, whether they're literate or illiterate. So what a nice way to think about introducing literacy or developing reading skills in this manner. Was this something that you had dabbled with for a while, or how did that idea strike you?
Actually, the way it struck me was, strangely enough, I was watching a Spanish film when I was trying to learn Spanish as a student in the U.S., and that film came with English subtitles, so translation subtitles. And at that point, I thought, well, why don't they just put Spanish subtitles on a Spanish film, and that would help us learn the language faster. It was just a small leap from that to suggesting that why don't they just add Hindi lyrics on Hindi film songs in Bollywood, and that might make India literate. So that's how it started originally. And of course, I being a Bollywood fan always, that was pretty natural for me.
But you also have a doctoral degree from Cornell University, so you could take the time to really research this SLS concept. Tell us more about that work, I think your dissertation, and just how this whole thing was, you know, something that was close to your heart from an academic standpoint as well.
Yeah, it actually, the SLS project started off as a research project first. So I got my first job at the Indian Institute of Management in their Center for Educational Innovation that was in Ahmedabad. And we just went around slums, we went around villages. What we did was just put a television set with the Bollywood film songs without the subtitles, and next to it, another television set with the Bollywood film songs with the subtitles, the same song. And we just did a bit of research to first find out whether people really even liked this idea of karaoke and Bollywood. And the response was just overwhelming. So initially it was qualitative research. And then because the feedback was so positive, then we actually started doing some controlled experiments where we would expose a group of children in schools to the songs with the subtitles, and another group to the songs without the subtitles, and just monitor their reading improvement over time. And our first results were quite interesting and encouraging. Basically, people exposed to the subtitles actually improved much faster. And then we also put it on television in Gujarat, much more in a natural setting, and then followed people who used to like these songs with the subtitles, and others who just didn't watch the program for preferential reasons. And we again found that people who actually watched these songs with the subtitles, their reading improvement was faster. That was among adults. So these two research studies, early enough in the process, pretty much established it for us that, yes, we were on to something. And then, of course, the battle with policy, et cetera, started. But initially, we had to convince ourselves in research that this works.
That's interesting. Tell us a little bit about the battle with policy, because that, I think, is challenging, but also at every point you've had some really good successes. So we'd love to hear some of those experiences.
Yeah. Originally, when we started the project, I really thought that I was going to be engaged with it for maybe maximum 2 years. If you can prove it works in research, there you go. You send off your research paper to a policymaker in the center, which would be in New Delhi. And sure enough, it would get implemented all over the country, right?
Right.
Absolutely wrong. The way it happened is that almost at every step, the first response was, no, this cannot work. And this was from educationists. This was from media people. In fact, I would even say this was generally true of some of the people involved in literacy work also, especially people in the National Literacy Mission who couldn't really see the value of it initially.
Tell me, before you go further, why did people say it wouldn't work?
Several reasons. So the media people were convinced that adding the subtitles at the bottom of a visual would take away the value of that program. There is some merit to that argument, I would say. What most viewers do is they look at it on balance. They lose a bit, but they gain something else. So on balance, when you ask viewers, do you want these songs with the subtitles or do you not want these songs with the subtitles, most people actually prefer the songs with the subtitles, and I mean 90%. And these are surveys after surveys that determine that around 90% actually want the subtitles. So that was how we convinced the media people. On the education side, one of the first objections was, how can we mix literacy and pop culture, especially of the Bollywood kind? Our argument to that was that, look here, people are watching these songs and programs anyway on television. Whether we add the subtitles or not, it's not going to change that viewing pattern, if you're concerned about that viewing pattern. Personally, I'm not. But if you are, then adding the subtitles, you know, won't affect that viewing pattern. So all we're doing is taking out a positive educational byproduct from entertainment that's already in people's lives.
So tell me then more about the people in the policy sector, television industry. How did it get into the, you know, the Doordarshan channel, which is a national or state-run channel?
Yeah, very often actually policy objections are not voiced. So all you can get is a letter that says, thank you for sending the tape. We considered your idea. We didn't like it. Thank you very much. Here's your tape back. So you really don't have a reason as such that you're fighting against. And that's a hard battle. But I think over time we figured out that what's happening is that there are individuals who are creating the bottlenecks. So the way we would overcome that is just go up higher up and higher up, or somebody else who might be more receptive, or just sometimes wait out a person who will eventually be transferred from their job, and perhaps another person would take that their place and be more receptive. So wait out people who are resistant and look for people in the government, and there are always people in the government who are actually very, very receptive also.
And so essentially persistence paid in the end. And tell me again how many channels and how many shows have SLS in them?
So right now SLS, in language subtitling, is on 10 channels of the state broadcaster Doordarshan. So we're really dealing only with the national broadcaster. And it's right now in the states of Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh in the south. In the west, it's in Gujarat and Maharashtra. In the east, it's in West Bengal and Orissa. And then also in the north, I would say Punjab. And of course, the entire Hindi belt is also what we're covering with just one language, Hindi. So it's really geographically pretty much the same language subtitle signal today is reaching almost the entire country.
Very commendable. So how does it work? You have access to these songs or movies, and then your team essentially does the same language subtitling. What's that process?
Yeah, it's an extremely simple process, really. The way it works is the broadcaster, before telecasting, sends us the tape about 10 days before telecast. And what we do is add subtitles in our studio in Mumbai and in Pondicherry in the south. And then we send these tapes back to the broadcaster for telecast. So as far as the broadcaster is concerned, there is no additional work except couriering a tape and receiving it back. So we've tried to make it extremely simple for the broadcaster. And we've learned over time that it really works beautifully if we don't create any additional work for the existing state machinery.
And you got a significant grant from Google Foundation to help scale the work, so, which really helped you take it to a larger population. Tell us more about how you secured the grant and what you did with the monies.
Yeah, that was a really nice break for us, and Google Foundation supported this, and we were delighted with that. The way it happened, actually, I'm not 100% sure the way it happened, but my guess is that I presented our work and our research at Berkeley and Stanford at different conferences, and I think the word got around to Google.org, and one of their people there really picked it up and followed it up, and made sure that it got to their attention. And clearly, I think this was an idea that certainly is in line with the Google philosophy, which is, innovation that has massive impact and that can also provide access to information. So I see literacy as a first step towards access to information, and I think it fit very well with the Google philosophy there.
What was their interest in the Indian setting, though? Why were they funding a project in India?
I'm not sure it was India that really was the only reason why they got attracted to the idea. I think they got attracted to the idea because this was hugely scalable. I mean, we're talking 200 million people getting reading practice on a regular basis. Now, whether we were doing it in Africa or we're in India, I think Google still would have been excited just because of the scale at which we can actually bring reading to people.
And I think the simplicity in some sense, once you had solved the basic challenges about same language subtitling, as you pointed out, it's relatively simple as long as you have expert translators and subtitlers. Which brings me to the next point, which is your global strategy. I understand that you are looking to take this work to Bangladesh, Pakistan, some of the other countries where Bollywood films, for instance, are really popular. In fact, they're popular in most countries around the world. Where are you with the global vision?
So we have a global vision, and I can't say really that we have taken it to another country yet. But the global vision is very simple. In South Asia, if you look at it, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, these three countries pretty much capture a huge literacy problem of the world. In fact, I would say one-third the illiterates in the world are in this region, really. And there's a passion for Bollywood film songs and also local music videos in Pakistan especially. There's a very thriving music industry. So it would have been a very natural fit there, and the same literacy problems exist. In Africa, there is a resurgence a very strong industry around music videos. For example, in East Africa, Kenya, Uganda, that region, there's a lot of music videos that are already on television. And there is a problem of literacy. So that's where, again, it would be a natural fit. So I'm hoping that organizations there has to be some local ownership, really. We've tried initially to kind of make a push from India, but I don't think that works very well. I think there has to be a local organization that cares for literacy and sees the power of same language subtitling. And once we can find those and make those linkages, we'll go to all of these regions.
I agree. And we had a few other guests on the show who've done really interesting work with scaling up to other countries. And rightly so, they've found local partners and then connected that with local governments. So really ensured that the ownership was within the region as opposed to sort of a push from your end. So that, I think, is the right approach, and I wish you luck in taking this work forward. So then most people, of course, at this point would say, well, we've done a lot of, you know, scaling up of this effort, and we have reached a lot of people. So this is where we stay. But you didn't do that. You, in fact, have spun off a for-profit venture from your research and your success with same language subtitling, and it's called BookBox. It's really exciting what you've done with it. So tell us a little bit about how that happened, how BookBox began, and where things are with it right now.
Yeah, BookBox actually was a social venture that's born out of a business plan competition at Stanford when I was a fellow there for a year. And I teamed up with a bunch of students there, plus the director of the program, the Stanford Digital Vision Program there. And we founded this company. Basic idea was very simple again. If same language subtitling works on Bollywood, can it also work on animated stories for children, for example? Children are naturally attracted to cartoons. Can we bring reading or the reading experience to millions of children through television, through digital technologies, in different languages? So that's how the idea was born. Today, the way BookBox works is we've created these animated stories. We call them Annie Books. And the subtitles of the narration of the story are at the bottom. So again, the same idea of reinforcing reading skills is there. These books can very easily be transported to different languages. So for example, each of our books is available in a mix of about 20 plus languages. You can also see them in bilingual modes. For example, if you are learning English, and you're a Hindi speaker, you could watch the and hear the book in both Hindi and English and read along in the same language or translated subtitles. So pretty much depending on the learning needs of the viewer, you can adjust these books. Now, the advantage of these books is these Annie books is that they can go on television, they can go on mobile phones, internet downloads, VCDs, DVDs, and of course, printed books. So, for example, in India, we just launched a product which is a video CD of five of the Annie books along with five printed books in the same language.
That's very exciting. And you have Orient Longman as your publisher. How does that partnership work?
Yeah, so we have several partners in India. We have Shemaru that produces the video CDs, and Orient Longman does the publishing of the printed books. And Orient Longman right now just launched a product called Storytellers, where they put the video CD, so the audiovisual books, along with the printed books, and they've just brought it to the market. And I'm proud to say that actually one of Bollywood's most famous actors, Aamir Khan, who had a super hit recently around education, actually launched it for us very recently.
So the Bollywood link never dies.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say hats off to people like Aamir Khan for you know, extending their star power pro bono to such an activity. Very few stars actually in India do make that kind of a gesture. And so therefore, I think that needs to be commended.
I agree. And tell me more about the stories. You said that they could be translated in many different languages. Are they India specific? I've also looked at your site, and it seems like people around the world are expressing an interest in the materials from BookBox. So how do you create culturally relevant stories?
Yeah, we struggled with that a bit, that and asked ourselves that question. Do we need to create culturally appropriate content for every child, in the sense that do children in India want to know about children in China? Do children in China want to know about children in Africa? So we came to the conclusion that really children really want to know about other children as much as their own culture. So we don't necessarily try to make our content India-specific for India, because children in India want to know about other cultures also.
Interesting. And you have authors that you bring onto the team, but you're also constantly looking for authors within various communities. So how are you expanding that authorship model or just your generation of stories?
Initially, we started off with some public domain stories. And now what we're doing is we're just opening it up to people who want to contribute a story. And then we have an editorial process through which it goes. And once the story is selected, then it just goes into audiovisual production. Now, interestingly, since you asked about the for-profit angle, we're starting out for the first time an interesting approach where we've taken an existing popular character from Star Television, and this is a big television network, private television network in India. So we've taken one of their characters and we're producing five stories around that character. Now that partnership is interesting for us because Star Television will then market that character on television and therefore thereby establishing both the BookBox brand as well as their own character in the market.
Very nice. You've formed some really interesting partnerships and constantly tapping on mass media, which is ultimately where you will get your the most viewership or user base, if you will. And it's really creative. You came at it not as a publisher in the industry or not even as a technologist, but from something very different, which is the SLS concept. But clearly it's resonated with a lot of people. So hats off to you for that. When do you think your project with BookBox, when do you think that you're going to be breaking even or going profitable with it? What's your sort of projection on that?
BookBox, I think, is going to break even in 1 year, especially with the emerging partnerships right now. We're very excited about that. The downloads are picking up. The Star Television partnership is interesting. The Orient Longman partnership is very interesting right now. We even have now a distributor in the U.S. And the distributor in the U.S. Takes our product both to Canada and the U.S. So we're very excited. In fact, because our products are in so many languages, actually we're looking now for an active distributor and marketer for the European market as well, because a lot of our books are available in French, Spanish, Italian, German, Russian, Mandarin, of course. But so generally, we're covering a lot of languages.
How big is your team? And you're based both in India and the U.S. right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. How large is your team?
Yeah, we have about 30 people, and we draw upon at least 60 freelancers. So it we really work as a movie production house, 30 people being our core team. And then whenever we want to produce, let's say, a set of five stories, what we do is tap into creative people who come in for that production, and then that's it. So that model seems to work very well for us. Most of our people are in India, and for obvious reasons, just it's much more cost-effective. Interestingly, perhaps for your listeners, most of the people in our staff actually based in Pondicherry, and Pondicherry being a very little quaint town in South India on the coast, beautiful town. That place has about 60 languages represented in a tiny space because it attracts a lot of people from all over the world who just love the place because of its yoga and spiritual side to Pondicherry.
And you're from originally from Pondicherry as well. So is that one of the reasons why you've gone back there to set up your
Absolutely.
Activities?
Absolutely. Pondicherry is a place that you cannot leave, really. I grew up in the Sri Aurobindo Ashram there. All my schooling pretty much was there, and it was a very experimental school. So I have an attachment to that place, both from a cultural point of view and also my family and friends.
Wonderful. You talked about this a little bit, but downloading the books off the internet, how frequent is that? Is it a large population that's downloading off the internet, or, you know, particularly given the patchy broadband connection in some of these countries?
Yeah, so I have to distinguish the markets here. In India, our vision and our goal is actually to create television programs from these book box stories. That's where we can reach 600 million viewers. Now, for the developed markets where broadband access is there, certainly we would also like to make some, you know, generate revenue from downloads. But really our goal in the developing countries is more to be on television and technologies that are there in people's lives already, for example, mobile phones and VCDs.
So then the next question is, do you have a lot of demand on mobile phones today in India for your books? Or is that just something that's going to develop in the next some years?
Yes, the mobile content download space is still developing in India. We have tied up already with Reliance, for example, in India, to get our content on mobile phones. That industry is just going crazy right now, and it's picking up very fast. The download market is something that's going to grow. So it's still at a very nascent stage.
And you are in San Francisco. You're based in the Bay Area. And you also obviously have your roots in India. So how do you split your time in this work?
I pretty much spend half the year in the Bay Area and half the year in India. Over several trips, really. I follow my work, essentially. In the Bay Area, I try to look at the international focus of our work, try to generate relationships, for example, like the relationship with Google.org and others that might emerge. Certainly, one of my roles is to keep the fires burning for both Planet Read and BookBox. In India, I do a lot of policy work, so pretty much I go to Delhi, meet a lot of the policymakers, both in education and broadcast, trying to convince them that they need to really scale up this idea nationally. I mean, even though I might have given the impression that, okay, this is a set project and something that's going to go on forever on television in India, honestly, we are really going from year to year trying to make sure that we're still on air. That's because policy in India has not yet bought the idea fully. They have bought in now partially after 10 years. But for example, our goal is that every song on television in India should go with same language subtitles. That's a simple goal, but that to achieve that goal, I think we're still about 3-4 years away probably.
Wow, and you've said you've been at it for 10 years, so that's a lot of persistence. So another endeavor of yours, Desi Lassi, that's really a catchy name. Desi is a term we use to describe people from the Indian subcontinent. And anyone who's eaten at an Indian restaurant probably knows that Lassi is a drink. What is that all about?
Okay, so we've been actually toying with revenue streams quite a bit in Planet Read's work. So one of the things that we've done is all the songs that go on television, and every week we subtitle about 50 songs in the same language, in different languages. Now, those songs are already subtitled. So what we were thinking, how can we leverage that to generate some revenue for Planet Read? So what we did is created this site called desilassi.com, where the same songs that go on television are also placed there if we have the rights. If we don't have the rights and we just put the lyrics or just put a small clip there without violating the rights, so that people can still enjoy those songs online. That's one of the ideas that we're trying for revenue generation. The other idea that actually we're just in the process of launching in India is that we're going to offer the lyrics of the songs on mobile phones. So, for example, a viewer in India is watching a song, and if they want the lyrics of that song, they just SMS song 5 to a number, and they will then get the lyrics of that song. That hopefully will make us really sustainable.
How does that work from a revenue model, though, something like that?
Yeah, so let's say every SMS sent by a person generates 3 rupees. It costs the user 3 rupees. Now, 1 rupee goes to the telecom operator, 1 rupee goes to the broadcaster, and 1 rupee comes to us.
You've touched on this in your responses, but where do you see Planet Read 5 years from now? And then I'll ask you the same thing about BookBox, I guess. But where do you see Planet Read 5 years from now?
5 years from now, actually, I expect same language subtitling to have become part of the broadcasting standard in India. Every song going on air with same language subtitles. I also see Planet Read having taken this idea to South Asia, so definitely to other countries in South Asia, Pakistan and Bangladesh specifically, and also to Africa, wherever at least music videos are popular. So in 5 years, I expect same language subtitling to be in at least 5 countries. That's one of the tasks. Other thing I expect for Planet Read is making this BookBox stories that we're producing under a for-profit model to actually also be translated and available in languages for which there is no market, per se. So that, therefore, Planet Read, being a not-for-profit, can take that up. For example, all our BookBox stories can be easily be made available in African languages, and there's a huge demand for content in local languages. So even now, if you go to bookbox.com, you'll be able to download a story in Swahili, for example. We'd love to be able to make such stories available in all languages. So Planet Read can take that responsibility.
Wonderful. And BookBox, 5 years from now?
Yeah, 5 years from now, BookBox will have at least 3 or 4 television programs to its credit, which would mean every week putting up a cartoon show or animated story show of half an hour in about 5-10 languages, and thereby giving over 100 million children reading practice.
Well, I wish you the very best. That's commendable, what you've done so far, but also just really impressive, your vision for what you think this work needs to be doing in the next 5 and many more years. Thank you so much, Bridge, for taking the time to speak with us. And your work is especially interesting because of this for-profit model that you've spun off, and not quite depending on grants and foundation monies for the long haul is probably the wise way to go for some of this work to go to scale. So appreciate your time and sharing your thoughts with us, and wish you the very best.
Thank you very much, Sheila. I really enjoyed it.
This is your host, Sheila Sethuraman, and you were listening to Design for Change.
If you like this interview, visit Design for Change online at www.sic.conversationsnetwork.org for more interesting conversations with social entrepreneurs. Find out how they designed and run their organizations for social and environmental change.
By joining as a paid member of the Conversations Network, you'll not only help keep social innovation conversations on the air, you'll also have access to our premium edition programs without promotional messages. Just click on the Join Now button on our website.
Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. Thank you, Limelight, for your support of the Conversations Network.
The post-production audio engineer for this program was Sheila Setharaman. Our website editor was Peter Christensen. The series producer is Kevin Shockey.
This is Eric Nee, and I hope you'll join us next time for another Design for Change interview.